I'd like to say the gentle sound of strimming in the background, but someone is really attacking their garden. It's a beautiful day for being in the garden. A beautiful day for being in a graveyard. The graveyard where George Orwell is buried, not too far away from us at all. We being...
Anoma Jack. Tonto Williams.
Carl, fellow creative.
UK cameraman. And me. Hedgewitch was here earlier on, but she had to get back to work before she got the sack. And we've been, you know, spending a good couple of hours having a picnic, drinking a beer. What did we do with the grave?
We forgotten. Laminated.
No.
We laminated
the grave.
It's going to be fine now for years. Libated.
Libated. Is that the word? It's
no.
Not.
No. Oh, my God. Go to somebody else.
It was a libation. Do you commit a libation? I don't know. I should have just said it like I did last year. We poured some beer on the grave as a toast to wish George Orwell happy birthday. And I tend to summarise the year, I try to, but it has been a weird year, and I'd love to know what you guys think about civil liberties and privacy and what's happened. Of course, one of the big tragedies of the year was the Digital Economy Act becoming act, not just a bill, even though there were some triumphs in stopping some of the more heinously horrible stuff occurring. I seem to have sat on more than one or two panels around the theme of I'm a photographer, not a terrorist. So in my mind, I think this year has been a lot of people pushing back, fighting back, being a little bit more switched on, maybe being a little bit more aware of their rights, of our civil liberties that are still constantly being eroded, I feel. Otherwise, I'd have nothing to whinge about. But we seem to be making a bit more of a stand. Even, I think, Damon DeMolder from Amateur Photographer has released a lens cloth which doesn't necessarily have photographers' rights on it, but has effectively the bullet points from a memo that was sent to every police officer in the UK saying, do not use Section 43 and 44 for absolutely every stop and search. So it's important that we keep the pressure on and basically say, look, it's all right for me to wander around taking pictures.
I still get stopped.
I still get stopped
as a cameraman, yes. For whoever I'm working for, whether it's for the BBC, ITN, Sky News, if I'm out on my own especially, they will still stop and search you in London.
Is it your camera or your beard?
It's probably a bit of both, but I do carry around a rather large camera, so I'm, you know, I do.
Which is really the kind of camera that a terrorist would carry, because it's massively obvious.
Yes, and with a tripod that can stand 8 feet tall. You know, we do try and hide ourselves so that we don't get seen.
Is there a history of terrorists spending tens of thousands of pounds on pro HD camera equipment to video and document potential targets?
I've never seen one.
No, I've never heard of it happen. I've never seen it in the news.
And I even carry a press card, and that still doesn't matter to some policemen. They tell you to move on. So these days, I just tell them, well, I'm staying here, I'm going to do what I do, you either arrest me or go away, and that's my final word on the matter. And 9 times out of 10, they do go away muttering to themselves, but occasionally I do get myself into a little spot of bother.
Are you not tempted to say you're doing a documentary on police brutality and you're short of footage?
No, because...
It could backfire.
It could backfire, that one, yes. But I just tell them, look, there's my press card. I don't even have to tell you what I'm filming. It's none of your business.
Yes.
That's my press card. There's the number on
it's
the
a
back.
Public place.
Go and check it. I'm in a public place. I've checked that I'm in a public place. I'm a member of the press. Now, either arrest me or go away. That's what I normally say to them now, because I have pretty much got fed up with it.
No, fair enough. I don't blame you.
I mean, part of the problem with the general public, God bless their souls, is they have this wide belief that anything the government does is legal. And so the government's passed it, then it must be right, and we either don't understand or we're just causing trouble for trouble's sake. Or, do you know what I mean? And with that idea of, you know, they just get on with doing things, you know, no matter how unhappy they may be with certain things. And whenever they do see, kind of when people stand up for their rights and whether they go to court, everything, well, they must be done something wrong to be in that position. Because that is the, through the media, through, you know, the press, through whatever, that is the idea that's being sold to them on a, you know, not so much at the moment because we're worrying about, you know, public sector going to hell, but generally speaking, it's just that belief that's been pushed into them that, well, this is what the police, the government's saying, then they must be doing it for a reason, because terrorists will come along and take, you know, music off on the internet to try and, you know, destroy democracy.
Do you think we're gullible, naturally gullible, or just easily brainwashed?
A bit of both. Mm. I think there is that sort of, you know, it starts very early in, starts very early in age, I was going to say. It starts very, you know, but yeah, you just kind of, you know, you get, you know, how many things did you get taught at primary school that when you get to an adult you find aren't true?
Yeah.
You know, but it's easy to tell you those things in a certain way, and that just carries on for your whole life. You know, you get told things in a simple way, but, you know, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, it's just so you can understand it.
I think the biggest thing that's happened to me over the years that policemen tend to say to photographers and cameramen these days is that please don't film around here and don't film any of the policemen because some of us work undercover.
Yeah.
That's their stock in trade answer when they see a cameraman or a member of the press. And if I was to believe that, half of Hampshire Constabulary work undercover.
Yeah.
And then they come out and tell you that they work undercover whilst dressed all in black, looking like a paramilitary with a big yellow Dayglow jacket on, saying police written large on the back.
Echoes of obviously very, very, very faint echoes of the Stasi, where effectively everybody was undercover.
Yeah.
Horrible thought. Tonto. Hmm. Real name?
Alan.
I forgot that for a moment, because you do look more like a Tonto than an Alan. tell me your thoughts.
I think that there's a real danger that, you know, photography, particularly by amateurs, and, you know, let's face it, there's some really talented amateurs out there, will just start to disappear. People will just stop because
scared of going out in public,
just, you know, won't want to go out because they're frightened of getting stopped or just don't want the hassle.
So we need more flash mobs, or at least more people to just hang a camera around your neck, even if you don't intend to take any photographs. Whose grave was that you just stood on?
I think it was a snail.
Oh, okay. That's all right then. He's now got his own grave. Carl Jeffries. It was really nice to see you here today as well, because completely forgot you said you were going to come, and then bing, lovely surprise, and you're wearing a Geekenbury t-shirt, which I respect you even more for. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know less about photography, but in terms of the fear factor, my take is that we've got a group of people that have met today, many of whom hadn't met before, travelled from different areas of the country to effectively go and meet people over the internet that they'd not met before.
In a graveyard.
Who the bloody hell would do that? And we've had a great time. We've had some interesting conversation. I think in our own little worlds that, you know, we checked that we were safe before we made that journey. You know, check people's tweets to see whether they're sane and whether... And obviously I've met you, so I know that you're completely not sane.
Would you say that we police the network that we're a part of ourselves? Would you say that we are self-policing of the people that we connect with? Use police in a, you know, a non beat you with a stick terminology.
So I can't remember what I was listening to, but somebody was saying about how when they, I think it might have been Stephen Fry or something, I'm not sure, but they were saying about that's what's great about Twitter, is it's how that's where you kind of stay, make sure you stay in the good part of the internet, because people that send links via Twitter, you know, you feel confident that when you click on something, you're not going to get taken to something that's wrong.
Because if I know you, there's a good chance I could, before I connect with you, I can look at your friends, see who I'm already friends with, and say, how is he? Is he a bit weird? Is he all right? That's almost the seal of approval. We've got a lot of shared friends, and a lot of social media sites are actually saying, "Hey, you've got five people that you both follow. You must be meant to be friends." So I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's less about technology, more about people. And the more I get out, I mean, there's lots of people out there, and lots of people trying to measure social media and God knows what. But for me, the power of that and the value of online connectivity and
black helicopters overhead.
Exactly, yeah.
It's really weird. It always happens in the peace and tranquility of Oxfordshire. There's either a guy streaming the hell out of something behind us, Orwell House potentially, which is just behind
us.
He's MI5.
He's MI5.
Stream has
and
gone.
Or the black military helicopter.
That is Project Ultra.
you've been on topsecret.com or whatever. You're going to pull off a rubber mask. It's going to be David Icke under there.
Yeah, well, on the subject of meeting people in graveyards that we've never met.
Where's this going?
I'm stood in front of four people that I've never met before. You've never met me. This is the moment I take out my gun and rob you all of your tech. So hand it over.
And you have only been involved in social media for about 3 months.
About 3 months,
so you could be a very light plant kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, it's
I
possible.
I could be a plant, yes. So I blame you, in fact. I do blame you. I started following quite a few people, and you kept popping up as documentally and I clicked on one thing and I clicked on another, and I found you in all sorts of different places, and what you were doing, I thought I would like to try that. And every time I blogged, every time I wrote, every time I tweeted, I was getting a response, and that response gave me the confidence to carry on doing more and more, and my followers have grown, and I'm starting to meet people that I would have never met before in my normal day-to-day life, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
It's definitely revolutionised the way that I work, definitely. I don't know if I could unplug myself quite so easily now. One final observation, as me and Carl were leaving towards the front of the church, Carl jokingly said, I wonder if there's CCTV inside. And I was like, oh, there is. A little CCTV camera looking as you enter the church. And it's kind of weird. When I was a kid, no churches were locked. How do I know this? Because we used to cycle tour on Saturdays, because churches didn't do much on Saturdays, and play the church organs, the pipe organs, all over the place, mostly around Brinklow. Sorry, Brinklow Church. But nowadays, everything's locked up, and we're all retreating a little bit more into our castles and putting cameras on the outside. I see cameras less and less now, and it was a big topic of discussion the first time we had a meeting here. Are you seeing more or less CCTV, do you think?
Definitely seeing more. I remember I did I did some documentary with some peace campaigners, and I remember one of the things they said in that was when they did a campaign, there was lots of police there filming them, and they said, you know, the police were always saying they're monitoring lots of terrorists. Well, did they count them amongst the terrorists? You know, when they kind of give these figures, all these people find, are they just counting everybody, or, you know, how do they distinguish? And I think there is that feeling of that's how they justify what they're doing. You know, they can just monitor as many people as possible, because you know, it's better safe than sorry. If you got, it's the classic, if you've done anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about.
Interesting. I think more, but I think the sad thing is nobody's actually watching them. They're used more and more for after the event. If something happens, they go back, play back the video to see what went wrong.
Yeah. Do you need to watch them nowadays with gait recognition, you know, cameras that can actually tell what mood you're in? I'm not just talking facial recognition, but by your movements. I tested some really high-tech CCTV cameras with leaving a bag on a bench and walking away, and within a couple of seconds, I was approached by a security guard. Whether or not he'd actually see me do that, I don't know, but apparently this is a very, very easy algorithm to program into CCTV. Do they need to be manned?
They probably don't, but I think, you know, the message that's often put across is, you know, they're there for people's safety and security, but if nobody's watching them, you're no more safe or secure at that particular moment in time than you are at any other point.
More and more.
Just means that if something happens to you, they might be able to catch the person that did it and after the event.
More and more stats coming out, kind of proving one thing or another. There's a interesting speed camera stat stating that if you put those smiley face you're doing less than 30 mile an hour signs up, accidents in that area plummet, whereas the you've just got a ticket, please send us the cash kind of cameras, some of them made by Trivello, which is actually an arms company from South Africa who also make sniper rifles, funnily enough, they aren't reducing accidents. So it's kind of weird and interesting and seeing where all this is going, yet we just suck it all up. We still seem to suck it all up.
I mean, oh, sorry, you're going to go over there?
No, go for it.
Yeah. I don't know, something else I was going to say is obviously because there was, was it last year, you could lose time, but when they passed the law saying you can photograph or film police officers or army officers in uniform, and around that same time you had the incident where there was the protest in London, and the man died. And at first all the argument was, well, he was, you know, they were trying to stop him from protesting, and they got into an argument, and he went down and he died. But because there was footage filmed, it was proven, no, he was just a news agent walking home, shouldn't be there, and he'd done nothing wrong. Well, under the law, that footage shouldn't exist, and so he would have died being wrongly, you know, charged with saying he'd never done something.
Exactly. Ian Tomlinson, I think you're talking about. That was very tragic. I remember that. Yeah, thanks. Nice, happy note to end on.
Yeah, cheers. That's my job done.
I'd like to say thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate you coming from the four corners of your counties to come here today. And thanks to Hedgewitch, who also came over and had to go back to work. And thanks for bringing along all kinds of technology, because I find this quite educational as well, you and your stinking iPhone 4. And all the other good stuff, which incidentally, when he'd got here at lunchtime, the battery was flat. Oh, yeah!
Check multitasking.
Yeah. So you'll be going out and buying some kind of external battery supply.
Several types.
Possibly a caravan.
Just a big rucksack of batteries just going around everywhere.
And the final end, I think, is happy birthday, George Orwell.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, Eric Arthur Blair George.